I purchased one of my first properties, turned around, saw that there was a detached garage in there. And I put my skills to use where if I lived in it back then in my buddy's garage, I could bring it over here. So it took 440 square foot, turned it into a one bedroom, one bath. And it took me after my 9-to-5 job, I did that from my 5-to-9, learned it myself, built the first 5 Dadu ADUs.
Welcome to the Action Academy Podcast.
Stand back while I celebrate freedom.
The show where we help you achieve financial independence with the mindsets, methods, and actionable steps from guests who've already earned their freedom.
The flags of freedom fly.
Choose to do what you want.
What you want.
With who you want.
With who you want.
When you want.
When you want.
With another episode today. Now, here's your host, Brian Lubin.
Shiraz Ali in the flesh. What is up, my brother? How are you?
Good, good. How you doing, brother?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Man, I love what you do. I love how you position yourself. I love everything about it. Your account hasn't blown up yet, but it will. And I've been looking at it. I'm like, man, this guy's got like his niche figured out. This guy's got his investment strategy figured out. This guy's got his market figured out. He's doing something different. Don't see anybody else talking about it. Only a matter of time. Man, introduce yourself to the audience. Who is Shiraz Ali, the Dadu guy? Who is that guy? And what the hell is a Dadu? For people,
let's break it down for them. Basically, Shiraz Ali, based in Seattle and building all over now, different counties all along Washington, and now looking to expand, building out the platform. They're an asset for agents, for brokers, for mortgage lenders, for the regular investor. So let's take it backwards a little bit, telling you who I am itself. I was in 2012, I was flat broke. Filed bankruptcy, lived on my buddy's garage, went to Home Depot, bought the broken drywall, put that up for a privacy barrier, dumpster dove into a carpet company, got some carpet so my feet wouldn't freeze. And then I realized living there for 3 years because I was flat broke, realized what I could do with that. If I can live there, somebody else can too. So then 2012, this ADUs, DADUs, cottages, nothing was around. Yes, casitas in California, mother-in-law quarters and all that was still around, but not as relevant. It was for the more luxury homes, more for the actual affluent neighborhoods. So come around hindsight, 2017, when I moved up to Washington, I purchased one of my first properties, turned around, saw that there was a detached garage in there. And I put my skills to use where if I lived in it back then in my buddy's garage, I could bring it over here. So it took 440 square foot, turned it into a one bedroom, one bath. And it took me after my 9-to-5 job, I did that from my 5-to-9, learned it myself, built the first 5 Dadu ADUs. We call them Dadus out here in Washington when they are detached. The luxury of me specifically going for the Dadu market. I do build ADUs. I do build casitas. I do build mother-in-law quarters, whatever you want to call it. I do build them, but I specialize in Dadus because I don't want no walls connected. The reason why most people want to move out of apartments and the parents' basement or whatnot is so that they don't have to interact. They have that separation. They have that breakpoint, but still live in the same area. So the same law, but have your full separation. It creates that. So Dadu, we went with that all in hindsight, looking forward from 2017. We are cruising now. Seattle market has boomed, trend leading in the nation because we're able to sell the Dadus independently on one lot. You buy a single family, we develop a Dadu for you. You can sell that independently out here for almost double the price that we're building them for. It is wild. California.
You can sell the Dadu independently of the single family on the same lot.
So what we do is we condominiumize them. We condo the process of that. We split the lot and we get a separate tax ID parcel number for the actual Dadu, and we're able to sell them independently. It is wild what's happening here for the last couple of years. And now we are the trendsetters. California, Arizona, Tennessee, Miami, everybody wants it. Anywhere that the house medium cost is close to $500,000 or more, is going to do this. It's a no brainer. It's a great way. You already own the dirt in your backyard. Now it's time for development. And it's a great way to infill. We are short on housing as you are an investor yourself. You see that demand. So this is where we sit today. We're knocking out 8 a quarter, really ramping it up. Our teams are there. We have 3 teams running around building these DADUs. Take pride in it. We put high quality product out there. We're not the cheapest game in the town and we're not the most expensive, but we give you the highest quality. So that's, in hindsight, the overall, the company itself, this is what we do. This is what we live for. We enjoy it. It is blasted everywhere. Our company slogan is we want you to win. Because if you win with just one rental property, you'll never forget us.
Dude, that's insane. There's so many different directions I want to take this. Yeah. So first and foremost, so from the business model perspective, so is this kind of a done for you service business model that you're operating actively? Are you guys doing like a flipping, like a done for you service, like development play? Are you guys doing like a flipping play where you're building these DADUs and then you're flipping them? Or are you being able to purchase, buy and hold portfolios for yourself and your company as well, and then attach the DADUs themselves to increase the cash flow? So is it D all of the above, or is there a specific vertical that you're looking for your business strategy?
Yeah, yeah. If this is a Scantron test, you circle E because it's all of them. So I'm buying for myself. Sick. I started off. I'm still buying today. I call myself the investor first and then the developer. So I am doing exactly what I preach to my clients. Let alone all my clients are either buying and building on the backyards for family, whether their kids are multi-generational, meaning your grandparents are moving back from the sunny states and living with you because of being close to grandkids, or the kids have moved out, got their college degrees, coming back because they want placement closer to home. Mom's backyard is better than paying somebody else for a $1 million house that's tear down in our neighborhoods. So what do you do? So yes, there is development happening in all sectors of this process, whether you just purchased your home, which I have clients that purchase it, call me 2 days later, or even while they're in the actual feasibility of that. Or I have people that have owned their homes for 40 years. This is the route for a lot of avenues for generational wealth, cash flow, appreciation on your actual dollar, and it's secure. It's an asset.
Yeah, I love every single bit of this. So I know that you wanted to be careful with sharing like literal numbers with the cash flow and everything, because you want to avoid you saying, hey, this is what works in my market. And then somebody in Idaho or Nashville or Miami or LA saying, Shiraz, what the hell? Like, you told me that I was going to get this cash flow and I'm not getting this cash flow in my market. Give some ballparks. Like, what are some ideas that we can expect? And you can share what's working in your market specifically. People that listen to this show have a brain between their 2 ears. They can be able to apply it to their own market. Regardless, this is a strategy that across the board can and will work. I see this happening. ADUs are becoming huge. My friend Alvin does ADUs in Los Angeles. You have all of these densely populated areas. The legislators are pushing for ADUs. They're becoming more ADU friendly. And if it's happening in the major cities, it's going to trickle over into the others because we have this affordability in this development crisis. So ADUs are going to be something that's legislative friendly moving up forward. And then, so I like this extra spin that you're doing with these. So can you share some of the economics of these? And sure. So some of the revenue, some of the cash flow, and then also if somebody was to do this and pursue this strategy, what kind of startup costs are they looking into? What does this process even look like? Do they have to go through zoning? All that stuff. Yeah. First, the cash flow, and then how do we start this up ourselves?
Okay. So let's take it one more step back. What we do as our company, the DADU Guy, we come in there, we'll do an a la carte service. What we say is when the first initial walkthrough of your site, we will walk you through the entire process, meaning design, permitting, making sure everything feasibility lines up. We will submit and do all corrections. We will actually build you a custom DADU, not a pre-approved, not something that the city is providing already. We will build those. In actual side context, we will build those, but we customize our DADUs when we build it for our clients. We build the whole construction management. We have our key managers in place, making sure the construction runs smooth. Whether you're working a 9-to-5 and you don't want no hands on, or you want to be a part of the whole entire process, we are here for you. So we take it all the way.
What markets is this? Is this only Tacoma? Okay.
Tacoma and Seattle. Yeah. So Seattle, we expanded to this year and we're just expanding beyond that now, looking at other avenues and recognizing what's doable. So speaking about cash flow, your first question was, hey, how do we do this, Brian? Cash flow is in hot markets and where it is, it is relevant to what you're looking for. 1% rule is made. The 1% rule is what you build it for. Let's just say we build it for $350,000 to $400,000 in Seattle market. If we're building in that range, you can probably rent in good neighborhoods for that 1% rule. But then don't forget the appreciation, the run up on these are just as fast and higher than condos since we're able to sell these. I build these for 350 to 450 range, and some of my clients are building to sell, and they're able to sell from 700 to 850,000. One of these.
Oh homes. My God!
So it's not even the cash flow standpoint. Are you looking in? This is better
to play,
and you don't even have to do the work. Our team does it. We come in there, we do the entire thing. You give us our timeline, and you can turn around and place some money. Place it there. I have investors that don't even show up on site saying, hey, Shiraz, I just bought one site. Here you go. Take off. So it is a great play, great advantage for people that have cash right now sitting on the sidelines. There's not a long runaway on these things either. Permits are starting to move faster in larger metropolitans because they see the benefit of what it's doing. Your second part of your question was, sorry, again, beyond cash flow.
So that was the first one. The second one. So first off, pause for anybody that's in Seattle or anybody that's in Tacoma that's listening to the podcast. There's a good bit of you guys. Hit up my boy Shiraz. Like, this is an obvious no-brainer. But for my peeps that are in Houston and Dallas and Denver and Atlanta and Nashville and Tampa and all in the South LA and all these different cities that are like super, super expensive. Maybe they hear this. Maybe they say, I want to try this strategy. But Shiraz doesn't reach my market yet until he's worldwide. Yeah. But like right now, if I wanted to do this, how could I go about this? What is the process? Do I start with the permitting? Do I start with the zoning? Do I start with the materials? Where do I start?
Yeah, first thing, you want to make sure that your lot is allowable for building. First of all, your city is recognizing that you can build in the backyard. Second of all, you want to make sure that the zoning matches what you're allowed to do back there. If you're trying to put a 1,000-foot structure back there or trying to put two, does it allow for two or does it allow only for one? You want to make sure how that lines up. So that's your first homework assignment in regards to making sure that works. Second of all, I always ask this on our first initial call, is start talking about your actual cost value and finances of where you're going to be. I'll give you a range. You tell me you want to build a 1,000-square-foot dadu, two-story, two and a half bedrooms and whatnot with a den on the side. So if I'm looking at that, I'll tell you a cost range. Go and start talking to banks, hard money lenders. Talk to your 401k disbursements. Talk to any other financial institution, construction loans. We at the Dadu Guy, we're looking to fund some of these now. So we're building our own fund. We take pride in our work, so we can guarantee the work. Why not fund it? We're coming up with that very soon. So just a little snippet for you on this podcast that we're giving out right now. But yeah, that's coming soon. Work with builders that have a reputable name that the banks are feeling secure to lend to. Like, I've talked to plenty of hard money lenders. They already know who we are and the establishment. We have a good reputation with the city. They recognize who we are as builders. We don't let that thing go. So first thing first is making sure that it is allowed to build a dadu. Second of all, it fits in your zoning and your property itself. Third is looking at your finances. And fourth is finding and identifying the right people to get you through this process. And we have a PDF, free PDF on our Instagram, on our website. Grab it. It shows you the phases. It shows you the breakdown. It is a free PDF for everybody.
And that is his Instagram, guys, is at the Dadu Guy. That's D-A-D-U Guy, the Dadu Guy. Man, I love that. So if I've got a property, because I'm thinking about my old property that I just sold. I'm thinking about my property over in Woodstock, Georgia. And I had an extra half acre, an extra acre. I'm like, maybe I could put something on. If I were to pull permits, what am I looking for in zoning that I would say, ooh, green flag, this checks the box, I could put something here?
Yeah, so basically what you want to look for is sewer line is capable of taking another dwelling on it. Septics are harder to say because when they put in a septic tank and the lines are drawn, it's for the bedroom count that's in there, 3, 4, whatever it is. It's already pre-designed for that. So septic is hard for us to tie into. unless it was overdeveloped in regards to it, the actual layout and the field map for it. And you need to have that room to have that breathability still and build. So septic is harder. If you have sewer running there, if you could tap into electrical, bring in an extra tap from there, or do we have to trench it? You want to, your utility costs are probably going to be your highest. Large, significant trees, since we're in Pacific Northwest, tons of trees around here, lots of greenery. We have 100-year-old trees. Some of them will prevent a dadut from being built in your backyard. So you got to keep that in mind. In Atlanta, you're saying that, obviously, if you were close to the trek right there, you cannot build in certain restricted wetlands and the way that it's laid out and nature reserve areas. You want to make sure that you're not infringing on those. Those are your first conversations that you want to have with the city. Cities are very forthcoming with what they're able to give information that you're allowed to build or not right off the get-go, because that will answer, does it make sense for you to start thinking about it and getting excited about it? If you can't do it, then it stops it right there. And then do you look for another property?
Okay, and then you're funding these basically with like construction loans, private money, hard money, correct?
Correct. Yeah, so most of my clients are using that, cash reserves, family selling their other unit, like grandma's moving into the backyard. She sold her house in Arizona, brought that, built a unit on the back. Now the whole family has a good asset with two dwellings on it. So now she gets to see the grandkids keep being raised, being separated, still give enough space. And then now all the entire asset itself has gone up in actual cost.
I love the equity play that you're doing here. Where does somebody screw this up? So say somebody listens to this podcast, Nana just sold her home in Phoenix. We want to move Nana to Atlanta and we're building it. We look at the zoning, looks okay. We build the dadu. We got like a 2-bed, 1-bath, 1-story dadu that we've got on our lot. And then it doesn't appraise how we thought it would. How would that happen? What are some red flags we can look out for? How do we make sure that these things are really hitting the ARV that we're predicting?
Yeah, so you want to see what the appraisal ARV, your after build cost, not just the repair side. You want to make sure that the area commands for the rents, commands for the bedroom counts, and the bathroom counts. So if you're installing 2 bathrooms and 2 bedrooms in that unit for your Nana, then what do you do at that point? Does it make sense in the area that's surrounding it? So Atlanta, I don't know about that, but in our area, even Tacoma, my rent for 2-bedroom, 1-bath is $1,800. So you got to make sure that that comes in. If the rents are there comparable, your actual, what is single family dwellings selling for around this area? That is 2-bedroom, 1-bath. 2-bedroom, 1-bath in my area is selling for $450 to almost $500 or $500,000. In our area. Mm-hmm. So if you think about that, and if we can build it for $300, there is the influx of what you can get for that. So you do got to do some homework. I would link up with the real estate agent that can tell you some of these numbers and walk you through if it's a good investment. If it's for a personal family situation, 100%, why build elsewhere? Why go buy another piece of dirt when you already have it in your backyard?
Dude, I love every single bit of this. So another thing that I like is how you position things. And I want to use you as a case study of just branding done right. So I've got your website pulled up over here. It's thedaduguy.com. And so most people, when they start, you know, their journey, and like you said, you were sleeping on the floor, you were going and dumpster diving for carpet. How many years ago was that?
2012. So
2012. So that wasn't like that long ago. That was 12 years ago you're doing this. And now you've built financial freedom for yourself. And now you've built this company. And every single bit of your company is involved in your niche. So you found a niche. You're like, I did this. It worked for me. I did it for others. Now I want to scale it. Now I want to lend on it. Now I want to build it. Now I want to do it as a service. Now I want to invest in it. Now I want to buy it for myself. This is how you play the game, guys. Shiraz is not a real estate investor. So you go from real estate investor to, okay, now I buy single family. Okay, cool. Now you're still 1 in a billion, right? Then you go down to, okay, I add living space, utilize equity, and get financial freedom through dadus, garage and basement conversions, period. That's your asset class. Okay, cool. Now, how can we go a little bit deeper down the rabbit hole? Now you're saying, I'm the dadu guy. We specialize in dadus, garage, and basement conversions in Tacoma, Washington. All right, cool. Now we're cooking. So now everybody that's in Tacoma, Washington is like, all right, I got to hit up Shiraz. He does this specific strategy in my backyard. And dude, how many times do I have to tell this to other people? Like, the riches are in the freaking niches. And you get this, man. Walk us through. Is this something with your branding that you just got? Or did this take a lot of tinkering to figure out how to bring yourself down to this position?
I knew I was sitting on a gold mine in regards to like 2018. And then 2019, people started talking about these. Hey, the housing, the builders are not being able to keep up. It was hitting mainstream media. And then all of a sudden, it was an influx to that part of the community. Everybody was buying everything. There was
everything.
No dirt left unturned. So when you see that, I was like, okay, eventually things are going to dry up. And where are people going to look? And I knew what I was doing was slow play, build one at a time. Eventually, we got to several amounts of units. And we're like, okay, this is, how do we sell one of these? So when we built that first garage that I was speaking of, we turned around and sold it for double the amount that we purchased that whole home for. And I built it myself when I recognized that there was great generational wealth that could be built by doing one of these. That's where the slogan came up. When the slogan came up, we want you to win, because I won with just one of them. I was like, okay, we're onto something. How do we move this ball forward? And like you said, we're in Tacoma. We're in Seattle now. We're looking at expanding further multi-states now. We're funding on these things. We're going vertically integrated and horizontally integrated back into this, where because it's going to grow. And every major city, I don't know which one to not name, have called us. We do free consultations, 30-minute consultations. We don't know specific for other states yet, but we are now hearing the voices of Nashville really wanting this. San Jose just booming, because they're going to be the first state, if you follow their laws, they're going to be the first city, sorry, not state, first city that is going to allow dadus to be sold in Northern California. So keep an eye out on that. You'll see that booming. Since we're the trendsetters of selling these things independently in Washington and Seattle itself specifically, how do we bring this knowledge and how do we bring this to the general public, for the mom and pop that's investing, for the regular investors like you and me, and for the institutionals that are building these larger homes? Do we come in as a package deal for them, telling, hey, you bought your home, we can build right behind this and create you a mortgage helper? That's what we call it, a mortgage helper. Because if you can rent them back for 1% rule, that's paying you something in your pocket that makes your mortgage of your new home cheaper. So
yeah, I think everything that you're doing is amazing, and it's really interesting. So I want to go back a little bit, because now we've discussed the strategy, and most people that are listening to this are relatively sophisticated to advanced real estate investors. So at this point, they're just like, all right, I understand this strategy, and they've already made a conscious decision that they're going to do it or they aren't. I would imagine that they're going to try it because they're listening to this point of the podcast. What I want to hit on right now is you 12 years ago. So you were in a position where you're dumpster diving for carpet. And there's a huge difference between that guy and the guy that's here today. What do you credit the difference to for you persevering, figuring out a strategy in real estate, making that work for you, scaling it to others, having that work for them, and now scaling it possibly nationwide? What is the difference? What was the thing, do you think, that gave you that stick-to-itiveness instead of just like going the complete opposite direction?
All right. So if you turn your head a little bit this way, the word is right behind you. It's taking action. I recognize what.
Yes, sir.
Like, legit, that dude, you, what you breathe and do is exactly what replicates what people need to do. I was scared. I had $0. I didn't eat for 3 days. My Subway sandwich, 6-inch sandwich, got rejected during those 3 days. So that tells you how broke I was. But at the same time, that taught me hard lessons of what I need to do. Instead of listening to, like, I used to drive an hour and a half each way for my W-2 job. And each way I was listening to music. The best thing I could have ever done was get YouTube University, right? So I paid the $14 a month, got no ads, and started listening to podcasts like these ones and other ones back in the day. Brandon Turner on Bigger Pockets. I could name a bunch of them that I just started listening to. Instead of music, started listening to that. Then I got into audiobooks. Audible just blew my mind. I was listening to 30 books at a time, and then action again. I slowed that down and really honed down on 2 or 3 books and really implemented that into my life and my career and my family and what I could do with it and where I envisioned things. So taking action, man, but without really giving onus on how far I've come. I don't look at it very often. I am proud of it, but at the same time, I have so much more to go because I'm not scared to take action. Like, this is what
that's
meant to be.
I know, but that's such a dangerous place to be in. I get what you're saying. And I think this is an interesting thing to hit on, where it's, dude, we just threw our Cabo event for Action Academy and we sold it out. We broke even and we did this massive $102,000 weekend and we threw everything. And I'm sitting there at the event on the boat, on the yacht, 54 people there, my brothers, my sisters, the Action Academy familia. And all I'm thinking of is, what's next?
It's dangerous.
All I'm thinking of, dude, it is such a dangerous game to play. And I like that you said that, where it's like, you don't normally remember back to you, like getting that carpet and like just to keep your freaking feet warm and stuff like that. We got to do a better job of that collectively as a community, because we're so always next. And I know guys that are at the 10 million, 20 million, 50 million, all they're thinking about is 100 million. We don't remember when we hit that first 100,000.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. I don't know. What's your experience with all that?
The reason why I quit my W-2 job, I was a biomedical engineer and I was fixing hospital equipment. I was traveling. I loved it when I was single. I was traveling around, having fun,
yeah.
Enjoyed it. And then I got married, had a child. Now I'm a family man and I respect everybody that's enjoying life and running around and have let it loose and having fun with it. My whole reasoning for building a company and being successful and financially free was the time freedom. I don't know how to put more emphasis on that, because when I look at it, I'm home by 1 p.m. every day. My son wakes up from a nap. All my invoices with my team is sent out. All the stuff is dialed in. I've woken up at 4:45. I've taken the gym into account. I've taken my morning routine and then I've gone to all my job sites locally. Now, as we expand, I don't know how that's going to evolve, but the goal is to spend time with your family. Remember those small things. One of my best friends said it to me just today or yesterday, I think it was, where he's, dude, your story is phenomenal, yet we should document all these things, because later on, in about 10 years, when you rewrite this stuff, is how much you're going to remember in detail. Like all the people that you come in connections with. This is fun. Not the rags to riches. Everybody's got a story. I'm not saying that, not putting other people's story, but it's really coming together and making sure that people realize I was there too. You can come too. Mm. This is not just a road. I wasn't a rich kid growing up. We were middle class, I would say. Got a good education, but the education didn't pay enough to create me financial freedom. Even with a biomedical degree, what do you do with that? It's going to give you a six-figure job, 100%, but a job is just over broke, right? So that taking
action. J-O-B, just over broke. Yeah.
So taking action, man, like what you're doing, you're talking about the yacht, you're talking about the next ventures that you got going on too. I applaud you, man. This is what drives the world. Think about how many more people you're employing. I take sense of pride that I feed 61 families from my job sites.
It's insane, man. Like this morning, I just posted about our next event and I've got nothing, dude, like nothing. I was just like looking at houses and I'm like, Tulum seems cool. Tulum seems like a good place for the next Action Academy event. And I posted in the Facebook group, in our group, and I said, yo, and I'll add you to the group too. But I was like, yo, I'm thinking Tulum. I'm thinking maybe September. I'm thinking $4,000. Sound good? And my people have so much trust in me that I not only deliver, but I over deliver, that we sold out 70 spots from a Facebook post at 10 o'clock last night.
That's exactly what it's about, man. Look at the
Facebook post.
Dude, did you get goosebumps when you did it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still processing it. That happened this morning. So if you guys want to do the math on that, you could do the math on that. But I'm like, that was this morning. And I was just like, people go out of their way to do like hundreds of thousands of dollars of Facebook and Instagram ads for stuff like that. I'm like, dude, we just did it with a Facebook post. And stuff like that is just insane. You don't think about it from before. And that's what's so important about documenting your journey. because you document that first event, you document that first tattoo, then you document your 10th, then your 100th, then your 1,000th, then you can go back and you can be like, what an idiot I was here and laugh. But I want to say something real quick, an observation that I just had. So you talked about, oh, I'm back at 1 o'clock to be with my kids. That's not because you're good at investing in DADUs. That's because you're a good business owner. And there is a huge difference between somebody that's a good investor versus a good business owner. Because I know so many investors that are way beyond both of us combined in net worth that are still not capable and able to be at home at 1 o'clock with their family. So where did these systems come from? Is this something that was an easy transition for you? Or is this something that you had to struggle with and figure out? And how did you figure this out? Because for me, it took a solid 2 years to really get my mojo and my routine going. And I'm still struggling with it today as an entrepreneur.
No, I have 4 whiteboards on the back of this wall over here. And I write out for the last 3 years of how I see this vision going. One is for family.
Yeah.
One is for business. One is for lifestyle of my ambitions. And my wife complements these. We do a vision board every year. We write down where our goals are aligning and where can we take our life. And it's, hey, if I work more or do I work less, does it make a change if I sell 5 more dadus and build it in my lifestyle? Or does it matter more to see my son ride his first bike? It doesn't matter more on this. There's no amount of money for me personally. I'm a family man. I want to make sure I don't miss those, but yet at the same time, go all in on this thing that I'm sitting on that I could give back to the world. So how do I, that equal balance that you're doing, man, it's such a steer and a balancing act that we need to figure out as a community. Which would be ideal is to really accelerate all this for everybody. But yes, it took years to really hone down on what I wanted for the outlook of where I want to be and the vision to write it out, to actually have it descriptive. Me actually writing it helped a lot more than me just typing it or thinking about it. So when I
did that, same thing
with branding, same thing with the shirts that we make, total different like shirts than the construction industry is used to. We're now going to phase into construction wear coming forward. So by June, we're going to launch that, because what do you have? Carhartt, and you got Wrangler, and you got the basic other jeans, Levi's and stuff like that. They've been in the market for so long. Why isn't it nobody challenged them? We're about to do that. So it's just,
I love staying
in that breed, right?
I love every single bit of it, man. And another point that you did that I want to emphasize is, you said about documenting your journey from the beginning, and everybody waits and waits and waits and waits to document. They're like, move in silence and let success be your noise. Bullshit. Bullshit. Like, do not do that. Be loud and proud with your stumbling and your moving about and your breaking of things. Because I was in Maui with Brandon, and I told him, I was just on his podcast, and I told him really one-off comment he said that really resonated with me. And when I was starting up this podcast, he said, because I was struggling with sharing about me, because I'm interviewing all these really interesting people. And now I'm like, I'm finally able to like talk a little bit more. I'm doing more interesting things now. But before I wasn't, I was just working a corporate job when I started this podcast. I was just coming home from work and interviewing multimillionaires in 2021, 2022, 2021. And he said, people don't care that I live in Hawaii because I live in Hawaii. People care that I live in Hawaii because they knew me when I was in Grey Forks, Washington. And they watched me go to Hawaii. They're with me on the journey. Otherwise, I'm just a tall guy that lives in Hawaii. Dude, same thing that you said. Same thing that you said. They don't care about where you are today. They care about you from when you were over here. And now they're like, look at Shiraz, man. That guy's balling. I've been with him since he had 4,000 followers. Now he's got 400. It's sick, man.
It's wild. But you okay? Let me ask you a question now, since I can interview you too here. <It's>, bro, you came up with a killer book. Tell me about your W-2 exit, because I did that recently, leaving a secure job that the car was paid for, food was paid for, gas, get still 6 figures plus bonus. How do people exit that? I've been talking about this with even my clients and even my investing buddies. How do you do that? You give me your expertise, man, because you got a killer book.
It's scary.
you're actually doing it. So
it's scary. I'm coming up on 2 years in March. So in a month, coming up on 2 years, I need to do something to celebrate that. But it's only people. The cash flow does not matter. Everyone flip-flops it. Everyone's, once I hit this $10,000 in cash flow or this $15,000 a month in cash flow, then I'll be good. Dude, I had all that. And I still wasn't good. Because your cash flow doesn't emotionally support you. Like, people think, dude, I had it all done right, man. I had 6 months of emergency cash in the bank. I had that $20,000 a month coming in. And I still was having panic attacks. So it's just, it was my people that kept me going. And exactly. It was like, without the people, if you're trying to quit that job on an island, that's a really scary place to be. But what we're doing in our business is we see a lot of people leaving those jobs before they even hit the cash flow, just because they have so much support from a lot of the other community members that they're just like, okay, I'm going to go for it. And then it works. Like, this shirt that I'm wearing right now is super cool. It's by my buddy, Jack Sorensen. So I'll give him a shout out. I think it's like Sorensen Fitness on Instagram. So he was working a corporate job and I want to start up this coaching company, this fitness company, because he's ripped. And he's not even in real estate really. And he was just like, I just want to do this. And I was explaining to him, I was like, dude, that's only like a couple of customers, like, for you to replace $10,000 a month. I was like, if you had 10 people paying you $1,000 a month, dude, you could do this. And he couldn't fathom that. But now I'm wearing his shirt because he's out and he did it and he's making $10,000 a month. And it only took him 2 months after leaving. And that was before he had the cash flow. I think he actually got fired. Jack, sorry if you didn't get fired, buddy. But there's just so many people in the group that have got let go from their jobs. They're like, I guess I'm either going to find another job or I'm going to go for it. And he went for it and he replaced it. So same thing. It's people, man. It's all people. Because if you're around everybody that's, oh, you need to go get another job, you're going to go get another job. But if you're around everybody that's, dude, this is the best thing that could ever happen to you. Like, now you're free. Make it work. There's another guy that got fired and now he's wholesaling full time. And another guy's land flipping. Just did $60,000 off of one flip. Dude, that was like his salary. Dude, there's so many ways to win. It's all about your people. But what was your experience?
Mine, same thing. Like, we had our cash flows, we had a rental coming in. So felt the number was close. I just put a hypothetical of 14,900 and something. And we're damn close to it. And I was like, do I do it? And then it came down to, I've set out a goal when I was younger in my 20s that, hey, when I turn 40, I'll either work for myself or I'll be able to quit and be fully retired. And so then I was like, okay, I got this thing running on the side. The daddies are happening and I have this company fully established. We're doing really well. I just never moved the money across because I kept it fully separated. So then when I recognized literally, hey, I'm there, I looked at it and I was like, I'm traveling too much. I'm missing time with my family. Those are my key principles on my outline. And we have the cash flow. What's scaring me to take this leap of faith? So 2 days before I turned 36, I did it on my 35th while I was still 35 in that time frame and quit 2 days before I turned 36. And it was wild. It was like it was refreshing. At the same time, scary, like you said, the money's still coming in, but what if all my tenants leave? What do I do? It's always the thought process. But at the end of the day, we turned around and we signed like 4 contracts before the end of the year. So
yeah,
beautiful. It was within 6 months, we signed multiple contracts, felt good. Like it was enough to sustain my family's life, let alone me and my wife just live here in Washington by ourselves, all of our families from Canada. So we have nobody. So the bouncing off of ideas was literally branding, developing amongst our own household. So it was really cool.
Yeah. That's why choosing the right partner is so important as well. Because you need that ride or die. That's okay, cool. We're about to go through this. Are you ready to rock? Dude, it's scary and
lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I were to give advice to anybody that's listening to this, that's like in the same position, maybe they're ready to make the leap or they're getting close. Dude, if I could go back, I would have a 10-day vacation planned that time that is too expensive, that would scare the absolute shit out of me. That's what I would do if I could go back. And I would pick 10 days specifically. I would start it on like a Tuesday and I would end it on like a Thursday. because you need to do it in the middle of the week to where it's so long that it's just, it's not the same as like a PTO vacation. It needs to be expensive enough where it's going to scare you, save your money up, but it needs to be something that's like a pattern interrupt. Because like I went to Greece for a month after I quit, but that was like 3 months later. So all I was doing was just sitting there in the basement of my freaking house hack. I was just thinking, oh my God, what am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? I've got 3 months of this. Ah, it's the worst decision. I should have just gone to Greece. Like, dude, it was the worst. And they don't have any like mariachi band or anything for you when you quit either. I was so ticked off. So fireworks.
I did it off a beach. I literally hit on a laptop sitting at a beach because I'm a beach bum. And I turned around and told
that's my wife, perfect.
This is how I'm going to exit. So we planned it out. We went there and I hit literally enter on the beach sitting there with my running in the sand. It was super cool. But at the same time, it was exhilarating, fearful, and the unknown was it. Like exciting. It wasn't it, when you have that support, when you know that you're about to do something, you already put in things for lining it up. So if you're looking to quit now, you already have those things in line. Stop doubting that. Make sure you're backing
your
family and your support and your financial background, but you're already there. You made this leap already in your mind. Why not continue forward? You can always get a job afterwards. You can always go back to
worst
case.
That
company. Yeah. If it's not that company, you can go to another company. But the chances of you, even my coworker still calling me from my last job, turning around and saying, you're never going to come back, dude. You've already made 10 times the money that you would have made in 1 year with us. So it's just like nuts.
Yeah.
It's a cool thing to recognize after you've been gone.
Yeah. And that first year is terrifying. But then once you're out for a year, then you're like, okay, I'm not bankrupt yet. And then TBD, but it's like you keep going and through it. But dude, I'm almost thinking about doing some content because then you start doing these podcasts and stuff. And then the running joke is if you Google me, I'm the least hireable person in the world. Because every single, when you Google me, all these articles coming up of here's how to quit your job. So I'm thinking about making content where I literally go and apply for jobs and like message recruiters. And I'm like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this job. And then seeing what they say back after like Googling everything just to see the reactions. That's something we're thinking of. But anyways, dude, to wrap this up, man, where can people find out more about you, about hiring you, about partnering with you, about doing anything with you, and about booking one of these consultation calls?
Yeah, free consultation. Go to our website, thedadyouguy.com. Same thing with our handles for all social media, the Dadu Guy. Literally, we're out there. We're trying to post more, trying to show you the ins and outs that not a lot of people are talking about. I like dirt on my boots. I am a guy that will be out there literally in the trenches and making sure that all my clients, all my future clients, and all the education gets out there from a developer standpoint. So I want people to learn from it. Our slogan is, we want you to win. We stand by it. All the atmosphere amongst our culture of our team all breathes that. Our shirts say it. Our team believes in it. That's what we try to do. And that's what we're trying to give to the world. We're out there trying to get it out there. If you're in the Seattle, Tacoma area, we are here to develop, help you all along your investing journey, let alone giving you added living space. And if you're in other markets, wink, wink, we might be expanding. So keep an eye out, keep us on your pulse, and we fund. So going future, we're about to fund it and go forward.
Let's go. Man, thank you so much for coming on, man. It's been a blast.
I appreciate it, brother. Take care.
And with that, it's been Shiraz and Brian with the Action Academy podcast. You know what it is. Going from employee to entrepreneur, replacing corporate with cash flow. Thank you so much, guys. Go check out thedadyouguy.com and give us a 5-star rating and a review and send us to everybody that you've ever met and interacted with. Thank you so much and good night. Hey, real quick, if you're still listening to today's episode, I'm assuming you got value from it. So I need your help specifically. My 2-year vision with this show is to help over 1 million people do what they want, when they want, with who they want, and I can only do that with your help. There are 2 main ways that a podcast grows. One is through ratings and reviews, and the other is word of mouth. If you could please leave me a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as well as send this to 1 or 2 friends that you think would get value from it, we can reach the people that we're looking to reach. Thanks in advance. Talk tomorrow.